Our speaker is Ben Bailey.
Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Matthew chapter 4, verses 4 through 7. As we think today about the great subject of overcoming temptation, there's no example of this better found in the Bible than the example of Jesus. We know that Jesus was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. Hebrews 4, verse 15. He is that perfect example which we are to follow in His footsteps. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 21. And as we think about having the mind of Christ, Philippians 2, verse 5, and imitating His great example, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, today we want to look at Jesus as an example, as a good example of how to overcome temptation. All of us are tempted by the devil. All of us have our own weaknesses, our own desires of the flesh that sometimes we're tempted to give into. When that happens, what can I do? What can the child of God do to overcome his temptations? Today we're going to be looking at our text in Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11, as we think about overcoming temptation. But let's realize as some introductory notes that temptation is a reality that all of us face each and every day. I'm going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted. We live in a world where sin exists and thus temptation exists. Jesus said in Matthew 26:41 that the flesh sometimes is weak, but the spirit is willing. We need to realize sometimes the things we want to do, we give in sometimes to the flesh. Luke chapter 8, Jesus spoke about the parable of the souls, and one of those who gave in to temptation. Let no man say when he's tempted, "I'm tempted of God." We face temptation from within, from ourselves, and externally as well from Satan. And let's realize as well, as we think about the subject of temptation, realize that the devil is actively plotting to tempt each of us as we now speak. Luke 22, verse 31, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, Simon, Satan has desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat." And friend, each of us can insert our name where Simon's name was. Satan desires to tempt us. You open to the wonderful book of Job, Job chapter 1, verse 7, and Satan is going back and forth, to and fro upon the earth, looking for people to tempt. And thus we're reminded of the words of 1 Peter 5, verse 8. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. You know, you can think of great men of the Bible, and some of God's greatest servants have been sorely tempted by the adversary. Think about David. David's a great man of God, a man after God's own heart. And here he is working diligently in the kingdom of Israel, defeating the foe. And then as he stands on top of that building, as he sees beautiful Bathsheba bathing, Satan finds an entrance into his life. Think of Peter. Peter was a great worker in the kingdom of God, had great talents, great abilities, and yet they say to Peter, "Weren't you with this man?" And the Bible says he begins to curse and deny it. Peter gave in to temptation. All of God's servants at one time or another have been tempted. But as we realize, since temptation is reality, we've got to learn not to avoid it. I can't avoid necessarily every temptation there is. I've got to learn how to overcome it, how to be above temptation. Well, how exactly then do we overcome temptation? From the life of Jesus in Matthew 4, we learn first of all that a person must first spend his life preparing himself for temptation. The Bible says, "Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry." Now Jesus, being the Son of God, has made preparation for this temptation. He knows it's coming. He's led up in the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And notice specifically verse 2. He's there 40 days, 40 nights, and he's fasting. As Jesus saw and knew this temptation was approaching, he prepared himself for that temptation. Friends, if we're going to overcome temptation, we had better spend our life preparing for temptation. I believe some people, when temptation hits them, they're so unaware to it, didn't realize it was going to happen, weren't ready for it, we might say, that it just overcomes them. I've got to realize temptation is going to happen, and I've got to think ahead of time. What can I do to overcome maybe this temptation, or what does the Bible say? I've got to know the Word of God well enough to overcome it. Here are some principles I think we can put in our hearts and minds that will help us to prepare for temptation. Number one, I've got to make it my life's goal to be about the Father's business. Luke chapter 2 and verse 49, as Jesus has left His father and mother, He's gone back in the temple, He's there teaching the scribes and the Pharisees. They approach Jesus, why did you do this in essence? Why have you left your family? Why are you not with us? And Jesus in essence says, did you not know I must be about my Father's business? If I want to overcome temptation, a big part of that is I've got to make myself busy with the Father's business. I've got to fully give myself to Christ and to His cause, and then Satan is not going to be able to find a way of temptation into my life as easily. Secondly, to prepare for temptation, not only must I be busy about God's business, I've got to keep on growing in Christ every day. Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, it says of the young Jesus, He increased in wisdom, stature, favor with God, and with man. Jesus was continually growing as a child of God, if we can say that, as one who was serving God and putting His kingdom first. Friend, if I'm going to overcome temptation, I need to make sure there doesn't become a lull in my life where Satan can enter in, where I'm not as busy, where I'm not studying my Bible, where I've just kind of grown stagnant. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, verse 18, grow. There's a continual word. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's the image God paints. 1 Peter 2, verse 2, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. Just like a baby has an insatiable desire for that bottle, Christians must have that same desire for the Word of God. Thirdly, if I'm going to spend my life preparing for temptation, I need to know God's Word. Now, we're going to look at it more in just a moment, but as Satan tempts Jesus, every time he throws temptation at Him, what is it Jesus says? It is written, it is written, it is written. Friends, Jesus knew the Word of God well enough that He could use that as a shield of defense against the darts of the adversary. And then, of course, we must make sure every day that we're living faithful to God and His plan. Secondly, to overcome temptation, not only must I spend my life preparing for it, be ready for it, I need to realize how Satan works so that I can be ready for his ploy. Think about Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Satan works in various ways, and one of those is through the lust of the flesh. Look at Matthew 4, verses 3 through 4. The Scripture says, now when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Here, Satan plays a little bit dirty, we might say. Jesus, if you remember, he's been fasting 40 days and 40 nights. Satan knows Jesus is hungry, and so Satan uses that lust of the flesh, that physical appetite or desire. Jesus is hungry. Here's something I'll throw at him, part of the lust of the flesh. And so when we think about how Satan works, he uses the lust of the flesh against each one of us. Friends, we need to realize, if there's one thing Satan knows, he knows my weaknesses of the flesh, and he knows your weaknesses of the flesh. And Satan uses our own weaknesses against us. What he does is he makes us focus on the physical, not the spiritual. Jesus is hungry. What's Satan going to do? He throws food out in front of him. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. How did Jesus deal with that lust of the flesh? Look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 3. And this is the passage Jesus used. The Scripture says, so He humbled you, God talking to Israel, allowed you to hunger, fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. How did Jesus overcome this temptation? Jesus teaches us that to overcome the lust of the flesh, we've got to realize the flesh is not what's most important. God said to Israel, God humbled you. God helped you to realize food wasn't the most important thing. Yes, God took care of you. You didn't have to worry about those things, but He helped you to realize, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. It's not the physical appetite that helps us to survive. It's God's Word that gives us spiritual sustenance. And so Satan throws out the lust of the flesh. How else does Satan tempt Jesus? How does he tempt us? He also tempts us through the pride of life. Look at Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 through 7. The Bible says, then the devil took Jesus up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Satan gives our pride, we might say, a religious facade. God had said to you, right? He says to Jesus, I'll not allow him to be hurt. Now let's prove that, he says. Let's just see how much God really meant that. You go up on that pinnacle, you throw yourself down, and let's test God and see if He'll do that. Of course, Jesus realized that the pride of life couldn't control His decision. Satan may try to make us prove God's care. Satan may make us do things even that, as Jesus put here, that were harmful to Himself. And Jesus knew that He should not give in to that pride, that temptation to try to prove God. Well, how did Jesus deal with that? Deuteronomy 6 and verse 16, Jesus clearly said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. It wasn't man's purpose to prove God. God has already proven Himself trustworthy, proven Himself dependable, and just using God as a case example for proof, Jesus knew that wasn't the way to approach things. And so, how else does Satan tempt us? He tempts me and he tempts you through the pride of life. Maybe he makes us think we're better than we really are. Maybe he makes us think we're more important than everybody else. Maybe he makes us sometimes even look down on others. Friends, we've got to realize we cannot tempt God. We're all made in the image of God. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. All men stand on level ground at the foot of the cross, and we're all sinners in desperate need of the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. But then there's a third way that Satan might tempt each of us, and that is through the lust of the eyes. Notice this temptation in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 10. The Scripture says, again, the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory, and he said to him, all these things I'll give you if you fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Here Satan shows Jesus all these things, as though Satan has that power. All the kingdoms of the world, I'll give those to you. All you've got to do is fall down and worship me. Well, taken up on that high mountain, can you imagine being on the pinnacle of that mountain, how beautiful that must have been. Looking at God's creation, seeing the various kingdoms around, and Satan throws out, I'll give all this to you. All you've got to do is worship me. You know, the aesthetics, the beauty of that, in and of itself, would be awe-inspiring. Anybody would be attracted to that desire, we might say. How did Jesus deal with the temptation of lust of the eyes? Jesus realized, first of all, that wasn't Satan's to give. You shall worship the Lord your God. We realize first and foremost, when we're tempted by the lust of the eyes, that these things are not ours. We're just simply stewards of what God has given us, and that God is the Creator. He's in charge of all things, and that my life and yours is here, that we're here to serve God and give ourselves to Him. You know, so many people, I think, give in to the lust of the eyes because we don't really understand why we're here. Why are you here? What's life all about? What's the purpose of life? Isaiah 43, verse 7 helps us with this. God said through Isaiah, "Everyone who is called by My name, whom I created for My glory, I have formed him, yes, I have made him." What am I here for? To fulfill every lust of the eye? To have every toy or everything I want? No. I'm here to glorify God. Paul said, whether we eat, whether we drink, or whatever we do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10:31. And do you remember the poignant, powerful statement that Solomon, that wise sage, makes? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. What matter? Solomon in Ecclesiastes has been looking for meaning in life. And as he looks for meaning in life, he searches through building things. He attempts it through the lust of the flesh, wine, women. He tries everything you can imagine. What's his conclusion without God? All is vanity and like trying to catch the wind. What's his conclusion with God? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man, for God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing. And so we must give ourselves to God. In Deuteronomy 6, the Lord said this in dealing with the lust, "You shall fear the Lord your God and serve Him and shall take oaths in His name." When Jesus responded to Satan, throwing this out before Him, He went back to Deuteronomy 6 and He said, God has to come first. You've got to make God the most important thing in your life. And so, how is Satan going to tempt us with the lust of the eyes? Satan is going to make us want things of this world. But the Bible says, we must remember, the Bible says, do not love the world or the things in the world, for all that is in the world, lust, flesh, lust, the eyes, the pride of life, is passing away. 1 John 2, verses 15 through 17. We must remember the harsh statement of God in James 4, verse 4. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with God, or friendship with the world, is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to make himself a friend of the world has become God's enemy. We must realize as well that Satan, when he throws out that lust of the flesh, we've got to realize he is promising us things he cannot deliver on. Did Satan really have the power to give all those kingdoms to the Lord? He took him up there. He tempted him. He saw the beauty, the aesthetics of God's creation, and no doubt that was appealing, but was it really Satan's to give? Friends, Satan, one of his ploys is, he promises you things he cannot deliver on. Oh, this person over here is so beautiful. It'd be so nice to have a person like that in my life, you say to yourself. And then when that happens, it's not anything like you thought it might be. Like Satan maybe made it out to be. Satan is going to try to, in essence, give our devotion to him instead of God. And thus we must realize we're only here to serve God and to give our lives unto Him. Well, what then is the third thing we can do in dealing and overcoming our own temptation? Thirdly, realize the rewards of overcoming temptation. Look at the words of Matthew chapter 4 and verse 11. The Scripture says, "Then the devil left him, and angels came and ministered to him." Look at the reward Jesus got in dealing with this temptation. Satan left him. The temptation ended for a period. Now, we're not saying that once temptation occurs, it's always going to be over. Luke gives us great insight on this. Luke 4, verse 13, in this same account, Satan left him until a more opportune time. It does not mean that Satan will leave us forever, but the good news is Satan eventually, at that point in time, will give up. And so when I think about the rewards of temptation, I look at verse 11, and here's Jesus. He stood strong. He overcame that temptation. Satan left. Angels came and ministered him. Now, friends, we're not saying angels are going to come and minister us in the physical sense, but is there good, is there great benefit for me in overcoming temptation? Absolutely. Here are some of those. First, we need to realize that overcoming temptation makes us stronger in the faith. When I face challenges and difficulties and temptations in my life, and I have the power through God to overcome those, they make me stronger. Isn't that what James teaches us? James 1, verses 2 and 3. My brethren, count it all joy. All joy, why? Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James says when you're tempted, when you're tried, when you've got these difficulties in your life, you can count it a joy. How many people do you know that stand up and rejoice when temptation comes? We don't look at it like that. But it helps us to grow in our faith and to become what God really wants us to be. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 67 and verse 71, before I was afflicted, I went astray. Then he says in verse 71, it is good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. He says, my life before temptation was a life of unfaithfulness to God. I went astray. But when temptation came, it made that man realize what was important in his life. It made him take a priority list and look at the things that are most important. And then he says, it's been good for me that I've been afflicted, that I may keep your commandments. Temptation makes us stronger in the faith, and it helps us ultimately to focus in and to realize what's important in this life. When I'm tempted, this old world and the devil throw something at me, and I look at that in perspective. It ought to cause me to focus on the things that really matter. Is this what I really need? Is that why I'm here? Or do I need to focus more on God and His kingdom? Secondly, we can be encouraged to know that as we overcome temptation, there is the great benefit that the devil will ultimately flee from us. The devil has one good quality, we might say. He is a coward. Luke chapter 4, verse 13, he will eventually give up. And doesn't mean he'll give up forever, but he will eventually give up. He's not going to keep tempting us forever in that one issue. Luke 4, verse 13, the Bible says he eventually left Jesus until a more opportune time came. We can know that God will help us, that He's not going to tempt us more than we're able, and that the devil will eventually give up. And ultimately, the greatest benefit of all, of me and of you, of us overcoming temptation is heaven will ultimately be our reward. You know, when angels came and ministered to Jesus, as we've said, we're not trying to say that angels are going to physically come and minister to us, but is there anything I can learn from that? There's that great picture of Jesus being surrounded by angels in that barren wilderness. And what I see in that picture is God's ultimate care for His Son from heaven. Heaven sent care to the Son of God. Friends, if we remain faithful and we don't give in to temptation, will heaven be our ultimate reward? Absolutely. I love the words of Paul in Romans 8, verse 18. The Bible says, I consider the sufferings of this present time, listen to this, not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Compared to what I face now, it's not a drop in the bucket to how beautiful heaven's going to be. If I face lust of the flesh, if I have to face the pride of the life, if I have to face the temptations of this world, if I can overcome those, you can be sure heaven will ultimately be worth it all. Friend, have you overcome your own temptation? How have you dealt with what Satan has thrown at you? Be sure, the devil is tempting each one of us. Are you a child of God? You know, the greatest way to overcome temptation is by making sure you're on God's side. You will never overcome the temptation of life until you're on the winning side. The side of God, the side of God's Son. You might be thinking, well, I want to overcome temptation. I want to win against the devil. I ultimately want to go to heaven. How can you do that? Friend, the Bible makes it abundantly clear what one must do to become a Christian. First, you must hear the Word of God. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I know faith is essential because the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So I can't please God without faith. How do I get faith? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by this book right here, by the Word of God. I've got to hear what this book says to be right with God. Then I must believe Jesus is the Son of God. The Scripture says in John 8:24, Jesus speaking, "Unless you believe that I am He, you'll surely die in your sins." Having believed, I must be willing to change my life and repent. Jesus said in Luke 13:3 and verse 5, "Unless you repent, you'll all likewise perish." Are you ready to change your life, turn from a life of sin and turn to a life of service to God? If so, would you make that great confession, just as the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts chapter 8, "I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God." And having done that, would you take that final step, be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins? Friend, there's no overcoming sin without obeying God's plan of baptism in the New Testament. Here's what the Scripture says. You know, God didn't make it hard. God made it so simple. The Bible says, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe shall be condemned." Mark 16:16. When Peter stood up and preached that first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, he responded to their question by saying, "Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Maybe you are a child of God and you've let sin get you down. Friend, there's good news for you as well. Simon was told, once he had sinned after becoming a Christian, to repent and pray that the evil thought of your heart might be forgiven you. And friend, the encouragement for each of us is, we can overcome sin because it is written, God has made a way. Won't you today overcome sin in your life by giving it fully to God?